time now for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Toyota Sound, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
Hey, good afternoon and evening, everyone. Welcome to PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. This is David Faulkner along with Ken Simon. We are joined tonight by the Powell County High School Bass Team and assistant coach or boat captain and all the other good stuff. It's Robert Curtis Jr., other one on several of them. Cheesy's one of them, but I just call him Junior. So I know he's got plenty of names out there he can be called, and you know who he is. So we will mention that we will be doing the volleyball game tonight. As soon as the show is over, we'll head out to the game to start that broadcast, and then tomorrow night we'll have Powell County High School varsity football, and that game time will air time at 7 o'clock, game time 7:30 tomorrow night at Floyd Central. So those are your two upcoming events, so we'll get straight to the Bass Team.
Well, real quick, that'll be our tomorrow will be our last broadcast until next Friday night, where the Pirates will have their be season opener against Pike County Central.
Be good to be back home after 2 weeks on the road and play that first home opener next week.
If you want to travel on the road, they'll be on the road, different teams, but we won't be traveling with them.
No. Different teams, but not football, though.
Correct. You're correct. Exactly right. There you go. So let's get underway here then with the Bass Team. Robert, as far as the Bass Team, how long have you been a part of the coaching staff and even captaining one of the boats?
We started the team in 2016, and I come in with Julie to help set it up because I'd bass fished most of my life and fish tournaments and stuff, and she asked for my help, and I've been there ever since.
So what is it about fishing that kind of got you involved however many years ago and is keeping you involved, obviously, at this level?
Well, it got me out of the house to start with. And
at a very young age.
At a very young age, yes. And I like the challenge. I like the puzzle, you know, figuring out the puzzle and stuff. And just it's probably the hardest sport you can play. I mean, it really is. I mean, people don't think that, but, I mean, there's no lines, there's no goal, you know, just, I mean, you're against something else that's in Mother Nature that changes minute to minute, and it just it's never the same sport twice.
So as far as even sticking around this long, what is it that kind of keeps you coming back even to be a part of these young you know, student athletes, their lives, and kind of being a mentor to them in many respects?
Well, I think about when I was a kid, the guys that did it for me, you know, teachers like Mike Crow, John Combs, you know, and stuff that took us fishing as kids and helped us, you know, my uncles. I had uncles that fished that taught me and stuff, and I just kind of give them back. And I enjoy being around the kids. It keeps me younger, or I think it does.
Yeah, we're about the same age. We graduated together in 19-something. Yeah, it does keep you younger. Yeah.
So explain to people what captaining a boat would even be. So what's that role like for you?
Basically, you have two kids on your boat that you take fishing. I mean, you're allowed to run the trolling motor for them if you want to and drive the big boat. The kids are not allowed to drive the boats. And basically, you can give them advice, and that's it. I mean, they're pretty much, you know, on their own. You can't handle their rods and reels or tie lures for them or nothing. I mean, it's, you know, you're there as a, like say, an advisor, basically, and, you know, a boat driver.
Can you basket your fish?
No. I'm not allowed to.
They got to do everything then.
I can run the net and run the trolling motor. I can net them, but I can't, you know, I can't cull for them or anything or take them off the hook or nothing like that.
Now, do you get on when you say you're driving to the spot? Obviously, you've fished a long time. You kind of know spots. Do the kids tell you where to go, or do you know kind of the spots?
Time we'll have meetings before the tournaments and stuff and kind of go over where we want to fish. But I mean, if they fished with other people and stuff and know a spot, yeah, I can take them to it and stuff. But, you know, we usually, you know, we've done this for a while now, and most of the lakes we know a few spots and we'll try. And our coaches fish all the time, so it's, you know, like I say, it's changing constantly.
And you're talking about weather and wind and sunlight. I mean, anything can
what you learned last week in practice can you can some days you can it'll work, and some days you can totally throw it out and you got to start over.
How do you all even determine who's on a particular boat as far as the players?
Most of the time, the kids will pick their own partners. They'll have a friend that joined with them that wants to fish together and stuff, so they kind of pick their own partners. Every now and then, we'll have teams that are put together. Like one kid won't have a partner, but he has a boat, and another kid that don't have a boat, don't have a partner, so they need somebody. They'll just pair up like that. But most of the time, they come in with somebody in mind that they want to fish with.
That's probably the best way to do it anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, it saves, a lot of trouble sometimes.
So let me throw this out real quick. So Julie Clark, the head coach, some of the other boat captains, Philip Clark, Barry Ewan, James Shelton, Johnny Pergram, Gary Crabtree, Lee Jett, and Jeremy Jones. How is the relationship as far as the boat captains along with the coaches, as far as even splitting up those teams, the communication that you all even have amongst yourself as far as attacking, in a sense, as far as a lake to catch those fish?
Well, we're lucky because all of us, we get along really well as a team and our friends off the team, out and stuff. So we try to help each other as much as we can. We honor if another coach has got a spot and we know that's their spot, we don't go there. And if I can't go one day and, say Phillip's fishing a tournament and I'm not there that day, he can use my spots then because I'm not fishing them anyway. So we try to help each other all we can because, it is a team sport and we want our kids to do good.
As far as some of the volunteers, while we have a chance, Marty Burton, Larry Means, Logan Faulkner, Greg Markham, what kind of role do they actually play as far as volunteering with your all's team?
Well, if a boat captain, a lot of guys that work, they'll work on Saturday sometimes and stuff. We'll call one of those guys, say, hey, can you take two kids this weekend? And they'll play that role.
Now, so, most of those guys have their own boats, too. Do they take their own boat usually when that happens?
Yeah, they'll take their own boat and stuff,
So when you're saying that, this takes – boats aren't cheap.
No.
So it takes a lot of people to kind of do this. And if it weren't for the boat captains, it'd be awful difficult for the school to buy their own boats.
You couldn't have one without volunteer boat captains. You couldn't do it.
Yeah, so thank you guys for the support.
Yeah.
As far as practices during the week, on weekends, as it relates to the actual tournament schedules?
If we know our first tournament's coming up September the 9th at Paintsville. We've already been up there two or three times pre-fishing and stuff. Like I say, sometimes that helps, sometimes you can throw it out the window. But it gives you an idea of where, cover is in the lake, how the lake looks and stuff, what kind of, if you're dealing with gin clear water or muddy water, it gives you an idea, a starting point.
So at least you have an idea about the lake itself.
Yes.
And have an idea maybe where the fish might be on that particular time,
like,
right?
Like I say, if you have a stable weather pattern for a week or two, a lot of times those fish will hold in those places. They won't go anywhere. So, if you got a stable weather pattern, it'll what you done last week may hold over.
But if it's 95 degrees when you go fishing and it's 70 on the tournament day,
then things may change totally. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as far as the schedule, when does your all season start and end?
We fish from September, officially from September to June. We'll take November, December, January, February off because of holidays and just extremely weather, but most tournaments will run September, October, November, sometimes early November, and then they'll start back again in March,
Cold in March.
Sometimes, yes. We have fished in 40 degree weather, spitting rain and snow, and it's not a sport for sissies sometimes.
Now, when we were kids, it was usually cold in November and warming up in March, but now it's warmer in November than it is in March usually.
Yeah. Now, one of my favorite months to fish is November, because it's more like a fall month now. Yeah.
As far as the schedule, are these invitational tournaments? Are they kind of open tournaments? How do y'all kind of even set the schedule for the season?
No, there is it's a tournament series that everybody, any school can participate, but you join it's like a league and stuff, and there's people over this, like the SAF, the Student Angler Federation. These people will set the tournaments and the dates and stuff. And what you do is you fish for points, basically, in like a series, and you fish for points. And you do that all year. So if a school comes in late, it kind of handicaps them or something. So generally, you want to start when the season starts.
So the more you get in, the more opportunities you have to get points.
Yes.
That's
just
basically
That's
what you have to do to compete, is if you don't fish every week,
You fall behind.
You're.
But they've set it up to where there's 12 tournaments, and if you fish eight of them, they take your top 8 points.
Okay.
So that gives everybody a chance. If a guy's working and can't make a tournament or something, or a kid's sick and can't make a tournament, you've got other options, or, just things happen that you can't make every tournament.
But if you fished all 12, at least you get to drop below 4.
Yeah.
Well, that's
You keep your high 8. Yeah.
Then do your kids only fish all 12, or do you have any kids that fish all 12?
Sometimes, yeah, it just depends. I mean, from year to year, like I say, things happen. Sometimes guys have to work, and boat captains can't make it, or
So how do y'all cover entry fees?
That's on the kids, basically, okay. The parents and stuff.
So basically, raising money and
stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what would an average fee be?
Usually $25 to $30 a tournament.
It's not terrible then.
No, it's not bad.
So as far as the teams, is this across the whole state? We're going from Paducah to Pikeville, all the way up to, Covington.
Yeah.
And, okay, so how many teams or clubs are there actually that you all compete against?
In our region, there are like 4 regions in the state.
Okay.
The state's divided up like Eastern, Central, Southeastern, whatever. I think ours there's like 40 counties or something, and Eastern Kentucky. Basically, we're the line from here, back east. We're kind of, and Clark County starts another, region.
So we're east, central, then you probably got 2 out west then,
Now, as far as the tournaments, they're across the whole state, though, right? You're not just
we're
in the region.
We don't just stay in this region, We'll go to, like Bryan River, and, you can see Nolan Lake, is Eastern Kentucky, of course, and Ohio River, Maysville, Grayson, Paintsville, most of them are in our region, but every now and then you'll have 1 or 2, like Green River.
So are there other tournaments going on while, let's say you're fishing at Paintsville, there's another tournament going on somewhere else?
Yeah.
Are these normally the lakes that you all consistently fish at? Are they kind of almost on the schedule every year, just maybe different lake changes?
Generally, it's the same lakes. I mean, they'll have, they'll fish 12 tournaments, and stuff. So it's hard to get different lakes, they try to stay in our region, as best they can, but to keep from overfishing, the same lake all the time, they'll, go out, they'll go to Green River, Cumberland, Bryan River every now and then, but.
So if there's a good lake that you say on the schedule, you've got one in Western Kentucky that's a better bass lake than somewhere in Eastern Kentucky that's on that same day, could you choose to go to Western Kentucky instead of that tournament? Because it's maybe a better chance to catch some fish, or?
It don't count on your point system if you're out of your
area.
Out of your league.
So if your league fishes these lakes, you don't go to someone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got
so
you.
The league travels, basically. Is that the way it is? The league will travel to the different lakes across the state.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I thought I was trying to figure a way to cheat somehow. I didn't know. I just.
Well, now, why would you say that?
Well, I mean, I throw something out there. I tell you what, we'll step away from a break, and we'll get a couple of these kids on here, and maybe just throw it around the room here in a minute. But we'll step away for a break here on PCSN Live.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
What makes Whitaker Bank uniquely Kentucky? Our mission is to provide comprehensive banking products and services to our customers and to invest in the Kentucky communities where we live. Whitaker Bank is a reliable partner guiding you towards solid decisions for today's evolving environment and for whatever challenges tomorrow might bring. We are committed to building comprehensive, long-term relationships with our customers and the communities we serve. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org. Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across central and eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. And we'll go to Ken and go over a little bit about the roster.
Okay, so we're talking to the Bass team, the Powell County Bass Club team. Mentioned who some of the anglers are. Reagan Shelton, Peyton Clark, Kane Knox, Grant Wells, Ryder Linden, Carson Ewan, Carson Pergram, Trenton Flincham, Caden Jones. At the middle school, Braden Jett, Talon Rice, Andrew Roberts, Garrett Smallwood, and some of the substitutes, Dakota Rose and Hayden Moore. A good group of student athletes, a lot of juniors and seniors, but then kind of going all the way down, obviously, to some of the eighth graders at the middle school level. So it's good to see them getting involved in the sport.
As we just learned, there is only the one female angler, which is Reagan. And Reagan is a junior or senior this
junior.
Junior. Junior, okay.
All right, so who do we have up to the mic here?
Peyton Clark. I'm 11th grade. Fished for 4 years now, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So what is it about fishing that, you know, kind of ended up getting you to want to be a part of the bass team? What kind of got you involved in being a part of the bass team?
It was mainly after I had some problems with some running, had a little bit of knee trouble, and I wanted to keep doing something with school, and I liked fishing, so Mom and Cheesy made the bass team, so decided to join it.
Competition, regardless.
So prior to even joining the bass team, how much fishing did you do before? You and your dad, your mom, you know, what was that kind of like as far as going, you know, before you joined the team?
Dad, not much, to be honest.
Okay.
Dad bought a bass tracker to start out with, and we went fishing every once in a while, bluegill fishing and bass fishing, cave run.
Okay, so at that point, then once, you know, you're – unfortunate injury because you did cross country, right?
Yeah.
You were involved in cross country for several years. Any other sports that you play?
Nope.
Okay. So once you kind of got into bass fishing, what is it about it that keeps bringing you back and, you know, where you enjoy it, you know, being able to spend time on the weekends and on the lake?
It's honestly, the competition and the challenge of going to get something that you can't really set a pattern to all the time. Like basketball, you obviously have plays that you can run, like football and all that.
Right.
Bass fishing, you can't really, you can't set a play for nature, and you're fishing, you're competing against not only people, but also a fish. You can't guess them all the time.
Now, is your dad usually your boat captain, I'm assuming, when you go fish, or sometimes yeah. James maybe with Reagan as well?
This year, Dad and James are splitting up, so if one can't make it, the other one can take us. But for the other years, Dad has been my boat captain.
So when just to ask you a kind of goofy question here, so like you said, you can't run plays. You ever run a screen on another boat? The boat just I'm just teasing.
Not get them out of your way. You know what I'm saying? Out hustle them to a spot.
Beat you to a spot, and or do you all take off at different times? How does that work?
Launching work.
Yeah.
Most of the time, they give us numbers at our registration. They'll call us out by that. Sometimes if we have enough boats, we'll go out by flights. Maybe say there's 60 boats, they'll send us out 15 at a time or something.
And you have your own time limit as far as that goes, right? So you'd be finished 15 minutes before the next group would be finished.
Yeah.
Correct?
Okay. If there's different flights, they'll have different weigh-in times. But okay. Most of the time with our tournaments in our region, we just get our regular number and everybody comes in at the same time.
So what's it like even as far as the launch, whatever your time might be, and once you get out there, and let's say that there are 60 boats, what's it like to try and navigate and find a spot, obviously if you're kind of one of those ones that are going on the back half?
It's a challenge sometimes because you're on a lake. Obviously you're going to have your spot, but somebody else can find that spot too, just as same as you are.
Yeah, if it's a good spot for you, it's probably good for somebody else too, right?
If you found that spot, somebody else has too.
Yeah.
There's no secrets in it.
So as far as the time in the morning on a Saturday when a tournament's starting, what time are you all getting up in the morning to get on the road, to even get to the lake, get alone, to actually have to register and then actually launch?
Sometimes it can be 5:30. Sometimes it can be as early as 3:30. Just especially now where we can fish western lakes in Kentucky too, we're going to have to be getting up a lot earlier than what we usually would.
Or spend the night, right?
No.
That's what I'm saying. You could spend the night. And
we could, yeah.
But you still got to be there really early in the morning to get a spot.
At state, sometimes we do, yeah. Well, not sometimes. At state, you do have to. Multiple day tournaments.
Right.
So as far as, let's say you're out on the lake, you're fishing, let's say you find a spot, nothing's happening, how many times kind of will you move to try and finally settle in on something, someplace? Just kind of depending on what the action is or where other people are on the lake?
Sometimes one part of a bank could be completely dead, and sometimes 10 feet in front of you it could. That's, like I said, it's just you can't really put a pattern on it.
As far as coming back in, let's say that you've caught what you think are going to be some winning fish. As far as like returning, is there there's a set time? Let's say that you have to be back at 2:00 or something, and everybody has to be back at the boat dock at 2:00. Like, how does that work? Are people staggering coming in, or once you get what you think is going to be some winners, at that point you're just coming back in and not necessarily catching more? How's that work?
Usually with our smaller tournaments, we have between sometimes 10 to like 30 boats. We'll have, most of the time, our tournaments start at 7 and they'll go to 3 or 3:15, and that's when everybody needs to be at the ramp, and we have to have our chips that they give us with our numbers on them. They usually have somebody out there that we turn them in, and then we can go weigh our fish or get our boat ready to leave. And
are there penalties for being late? Returning back, to the dock?
I'm pretty sure most tournaments, yes. I'm pretty sure they're half-pound penalties.
They can be big at times, right? That half-pound can be huge.
Sometimes, yeah.
Got any shout-outs you want to give to?
Yeah, I'd like to thank our sponsors for helping us out, our boat captains, media team, and just parents for helping us out and letting us do this sport and supporting us.
So who is your boat partner? We kind of mentioned it, but I'll let you go into that too.
Reagan Shelton.
She's the last year she was, her and her sister were
the state runner ups.
Right. They finished really well in the state. So, yeah. So does she take, did she decide where to go or you decide where to go? I'm just teasing. Yeah.
The boat captain.
I'll let them choose that.
I will say this as far as your all's uniform. Now, kind of describe what your all's uniform is like, because I think probably the bass team to me has the best uniforms.
The coolest, for sure.
Exactly. So kind of talk about that as far as what options you all even have as far as like the gear that you even wear.
We have it's a really bad time. I forgot his name.
As far as like on your sponsors and everything?
It's the We have Dove Designs. They have a website that we can go on, and that's where most of the Kentucky teams so far, they'll actually have it listed on their website of their like preset jerseys. Then they have templates that you can buy and you can add the sponsors to, and then you have designs like this one.
So you're actually wearing a hoodie. Are there other gear that you kind of have as far as wearing on the lake, and are there uniform requirements?
As far as I know, with our tournaments, we don't have to wear our uniforms, but we like to just show support for our sponsors and stuff. And region and state, we have to wear them during weigh-ins. And I'd rather wear it all the time. Just that way our sponsors, they help us out. And
you're more identifiable, too, I guess, as a Powell County angler.
So I would assume most times early in the morning you're probably wearing your hoodie.
Yeah.
Right? You know, especially out on the lake, it's going to be a lot cooler.
We have a long sleeve shirt, and then we have a t-shirt, and last year we had hats that we wear, and some of them still wear those too.
Yeah, like I said, you can definitely identify who is on the bass team when they're wearing their uniforms. Again, it definitely stands out. They do a great job, and obviously your all's sponsors and everything being able to contribute for that, that's awesome.
Any of y'all wear bucket hats or just y'all wear just caps?
I do. I wear a bucket hat.
I was going to say, it's safer as far as the sun and protect from the rays. It's probably a safer attire, I guess.
Exactly.
Helps with sunburn.
Yeah, definitely. Sunscreen does that too, but again, you don't have all the time in the world to worry about sunscreen when you're trying to catch a bass.
So what are some of the challenges? You know, obviously weather's going to be one, but any additional challenges as far as once you're out on the water?
Usually lake conditions, because it could be a clear day and a lake can turn from calm to a wake pool at any point, especially if there's high traffic on them. And sometimes pleasure boaters can
affect things. Yeah. Right, yeah, sure. Because at that point, you're actually sharing the lake,
because
right?
Because you're sharing the lake, I said. If you find a spot, it could be somebody else's fishing spot. It could be somebody else's swimming hole, too. So
that's a good point. Talk about your being one of the seniors on this team. What are your expectations as far as going into your senior year here?
Just trying to make it the best year that I can and the best year I've had out of high school. And
any particular tournaments or anything that stand out to you as far as like ones that you're actually, you know, like, I can't wait for that one? Obviously, you're looking forward to all of them, you know, but at the same time, is there one specific that just jumps out on your schedule? It's just like, I really can't wait to get on that particular lake. Or one that maybe has been good to you, right? You've had a lot of success.
Probably the ones I'm most excited for is our first one, Paintsville, and then Cave Run is our home lake, so I'd like to say we can do something on that pretty decent. But
as long as Junior catches all your fish, you won't.
So let me ask you this real quick. So what's the largest fish that you've actually caught?
In a tournament?
In a tournament, Yeah, in a tournament.
It was 4 pounds at Cumberland my sophomore year.
So what will be considered something, you know, how many pounds does, you know what I'm saying, like, let's say in that particular one was a winning one, 4 pounds, 5 pounds, like what's an average kind of weight, just to give you know, listeners a more perspective?
Probably for big fish, a really decent size, 18, 19 inch largemouth, be between 4 to maybe even 6 pounds sometimes. Those are the fish that you really want to aim for and try and catch.
But a bunch of 3-pounders are nice too, though, right?
Yes. They help sometimes.
Right. Sometimes it's quantity over quality. So
as far as even scoring, once you all come back in and you're doing the weigh-ins, at that point, how many fish are you weighing in? And is it collectively the total pounds of all, you know, 5 fish or how many? What's the total?
For our tournaments, we run a 5-fish limit.
Okay.
You can cull throughout the day if you have that and you have bigger fish. But at the end of the day, they'll weigh all 5 fish. You can weigh for a separate big fish if you have that, and you can win different for that, but that won't affect your overall standing and your points.
Okay.
So what happens if you're penalized if you have a fish that dies, right?
Yes.
You're penalized for those.
Yes.
So you can keep some in the well, and let's say you can find one that's bigger than your smallest one, then you can trade that out?
Yeah.
Until you actually are clocking back in, right?
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other shout-outs, comments?
No, just mainly like to thank the boat captains and our sponsors for supporting us, the media team for giving us PR, I guess, on
right?
Instagram,
yeah,
and Facebook, helping us get out there, and parents for helping us and supporting us.
All right, let's take another break real quick. Yeah, that was Peyton Clark, one of the senior bass team anglers here. We'll take a quick break on the PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Hearn Funeral Home has been family-owned since 1939 and is currently under the direction of Hondo Hearn. They have proudly served the families of Powell County and other surrounding counties for over 75 years, helping them to celebrate with compassionate care, dignity, and respect at an affordable price. Contact Hearn Funeral Home for all your pre-planning needs at 606-663-4375.
He had to point to me that we were back on the air, so welcome back.
We do it all the time.
Here to PCS, and I was talking to Carson, making a joke, but our next angler, go ahead and tell us who you are.
I'm Carson Newen. I'm a senior in high school. I fish for the Powell County Bass Team, and yeah.
Yeah, now who's your boat partner? We'll get that out of the way real quick.
Boat partner is Ryder Linden. He's a really good boat partner. I love him to death.
Now what grade is Ryder in?
He's a junior in high school.
He's a junior already?
Yeah, he's a junior.
Lord, I'm getting old. I already knew that, but I'm getting as old as a junior.
Oh, yeah.
So how long have you been fishing with the bass team?
This year will be my fifth. I started in eighth grade, so this year will be my fifth year with bass team.
And what was it about the bass team that kind of wanted, you know, you wanted to be a part of it?
It's just fun, man. It's a fun sport. It's a hard sport, but it's a fun sport. It's kind of weird, you know. I mean, there's days when you wish you didn't have it, like it was horrible. But there's just some days where you just love it. It's fun, man. I love it. My favorite sport by far to do. We've always done it. My family's always done it growing up. Loved it. It's just, we didn't really ever bass fish that much, but we always fished. And my brother joined it, and he seemed to really like it. So, I mean, I just joined it just because, I mean, I heard scholarships were good, and they are really good. That's what I'm going for this year. But, yeah, it was really fun. Loved it. Wanted to do it.
So now now your dad fishes quite a bit, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he fishes.
How long has he fished?
Since he's been born, I reckon. He's been fishing forever.
Almost as long as Junior over here.
I'd say longer than Junior.
Not longer, because he's younger.
He's been fishing forever. I mean, he has never really bass fished that much until Palmer started bass fishing. That's
okay.
That was whenever he started bass fishing. He really mainly always musky fished and bluegill fished. That's all he really did.
Bluegill's that good eating, right?
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
So as far as even the bass team, what, you know, obviously the fun and all of that stuff, what is it about the bass team for yourself that's like even to be a part of the tournaments? Is it the camaraderie? Is it being out on the lake? Like, what is it that you even find that much enjoyable, again, that wants you to keep coming back?
It's just, really the thrill of it weighing in all the fish you get, and then you see everyone. I mean, everyone's cheering for you. Everyone's happy. You know, you get to talk there on the stage. You get to weigh all your fish. You know, I mean, it's 8 hours of work out there, and you get to, you know, show it. You know, you get to show your work. You just went on there for 8 hours. It's fun. It's nice.
So now you have actually been to the, what was it, the World Championship about a couple years ago?
Well, my eighth grade year, we qualified for nationals, and which it was right when I graduated. It was almost weird because I graduated was whenever we really qualified. So it was really my freshman year when I qualified, and that was with my old boat partner. And I qualified again for Pickwick, I believe. And that was a really fun tournament. Pickwick was a really fun tournament.
Now give us an example of how many fish you had to catch, or how much weight I guess you had to catch that season to qualify for the tournaments.
Well, for Pickwick, you had to give a pretty good bag. That's a much bigger trophy lake than Mississippi River, like we did in Wisconsin. Pickwick is a much heavier weight. Our first day, we were top 20-something. Our first day, we were top 20. We'd done really good. We had a 9-10-pound bag. I think it was 10-pound. Pretty much every day, you'd have to have at least 10 pounds to get up there.
So, again, you got to catch those 2 and 3 pound bass. Those are huge.
And the thing is, when you're in nationals, you can only keep 3 fish. You can only keep 3 keepers in nationals.
Only 3?
Yeah. It's a challenge.
Is that because there's so many boats on the lake during that tournament?
I'm not sure, but if I had to say a reason why, it would be because there's so many boats. I mean, I think there's 500 boats.
400?
There's 400 boats in one tournament. I mean, we're just... It's killing the lake after one tournament.
It's maybe more questions for Junior, I don't know. But now, after the tournament, when all the fish are weighed in, obviously they're alive when you weigh them in, hopefully, and they cull them back to the lake after as soon as they're finished, right?
They had some problems last year with Pickwick. There was a few dead, which was really hot. It was a really hot time to fish. There was a few people upset because, I mean, it was a really hot season to fish. But for the most part, they do. They release them as soon as they can. Usually they put them on this big pontoon boat, and they have the area to run it in there, and they just kind of release it after the tournament's over, and they go around and release it all over the lake.
Is there much difference between fishing on a lake and on the river?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a big difference. Big difference. Which river, the biggest difference in the river and the lake is that there's a big current. There's always, like, Ohio River, you got to put the current into, like, your fishing. So, like, if there's a current, you've got to find something that breaks that current, like a log that'll break it, because that's usually where the fish are going to be sitting by waiting for something to pass by. And with the lake, there's not really much of a current. You don't really got to worry about that, especially, like, if you're running the trolling motor, you've got to keep on fighting that current while you're fishing, which is why a boat partner is really good when you're fishing a lake, for fishing a river, so they can help, so they can kind of more focus on fishing while you're focused on running the boat.
So I would assume that most people prefer to be on the lake than on the river just because of the challenges, or do they each have their own unique challenges?
Well, I mean, growing up, I fished a lot in the river, so honestly, I love fishing in the river. I love fishing rivers. I love fishing current. I love that feeling of catching fish in the current because it always feels bigger. It always feels like it's heavier fishing than what it is. It can be a 12-incher and feel like a 4-pounder. But for most part, I think most people want to fish in the lake because it's, especially the boat captains, because it's safer on the boat. They got boat problems they got to worry about. So, yeah, I would say the better place to fish, that would be a lake.
Better and safer place to fish.
Yeah, much safer place to fish than a river.
A river hard because you really can't predict the river as far as the bass? Or?
It changes a lot.
Same ways as the...
Because, well, this year's tournament in Wisconsin, there was a lot of boat problems. People kept on getting beached and sunk. There was a boat that literally sunk.
Wow.
Sunk completely. And which is a bunch of whip dams and stuff in the Wisconsin, and it's constantly changing. When it rains, it changes that whole river around. You can't go to the same place because it'll be different depths and everything.
So, again, another technical question maybe, but when you fish a lake, a lot of these lakes stock the bass, or I mean, rivers obviously not going to stock the bass, I wouldn't think, but the lakes will stock.
Yeah, lakes stock a lot. It's and like the lakes can decide whether they want to stock certain stuff. Usually, they don't like to spot spots because they can breed a lot faster. Like Cave Run doesn't really stock that much smallmouth; they stock a lot of largemouth. But Cumberland stocks a lot of smallmouth. So
just a lake preference, I guess, right? Yeah. Everyone kind of runs the lakes.
It's just habitat. It's keeping the habitat safe for other fish. And really, truly, Cave Run is more of a musky lake. So they're really worried more about the muskies than anything else. And it's also a water, I forgot what it's called, a water lake. It keeps water level up from different places. Flood control, that's what it is, flood control. So they really try to, they're not too focused on the fish rather than water control and stuff.
So it's harder to catch fish there than it would be as like in Cumberland?
It's getting harder. It's getting harder to catch fish in Cave Run. Usually the best place to fish at right now is probably the flats. If you know how to fish it, that's probably the best place to fish at in Cave Run.
So on average, when you're out and you're fishing, how often do you catch a non-bass fish? Very often or not so much?
It depends on the lake, but honestly, it happens a lot. It kind of depends on which bait you like to use. Like, if you like to use a worm, sometimes you can catch a bluegill on a crappie or anything. It doesn't happen as much. I would say in rivers it happens a lot more because there's fish are constantly moving in the rivers. It's not that wide. Like, you have a bigger chance of catching walleyes and sawgeyes and everything. So it happens a lot. It's annoying, but at the same time, if you catch a big striper in Cave Run, it's fun. You're happy you caught something that big.
It's the least fun while you're catching it, right?
Either way, you caught a big fish, so you're pouting yourself.
There you go.
So a situation like that, automatic release?
Yeah, you can't keep it. As I wish, I caught a 42-inch muskie in Cave Run, couldn't keep it.
Can you take pictures?
No. I wish I could. I love taking pictures of bigger fish, but they don't like you taking pictures. They don't like you to share it. Some of them allow you to take a picture, but they can't let you post it. You can't post it in tournament times.
Okay.
So you can take a picture, usually not in nationals. They say just never get your phone out. But in tournaments like we have here in Kentucky, you can take your phone and take a picture, but don't be on it too long because you can get reported in. And you could post a picture, but it has to be after tournament times.
So some things have rules about not using, phones as far as your fishing, right?
You can't really contact your boat captain or anything while you're on the water. That's what I would think it would be. That would make the most sense to me.
Yeah, it does make sense. Yeah. It's the same kind of rules you have in golf. It's just kind of a similar type of atmosphere. So
yeah.
So as far as rules, what are just a couple of the rules?
Ooh, okay. Well, the main rule that everyone has to follow is the measurement system. It's really weird, but with most, there's lakes that 12 inch is the cutoff. So no matter what, the fish has to be over 12 inches or at 12 inches. And that's a big rule. A lot of people, they struggle with it because the main ruler to follow is the golden rule. It's like a ruler you have to use. It's the exact measurements that every tournament uses. It's the golden rule, has the exact measurements. There's the no phone. You can't call your boat, any other boat captains, and tell them where your spots are. You can't catch fish before a tournament and then put them in a new place. You can't put them in baskets and keep them there overnight.
And that's the one that people have gotten in trouble for here recently in big tournaments, right?
There's some big tournaments out there that people are doing it in, and then that one tournament, that walleye tournament, people put the weights in the fish. You can't do that. It's horrible.
Some rules are just obvious, but maybe not stated.
Yeah, there's the life jackets when the boat is running. That's a big one that a lot of people don't follow.
Boat has to be anchored whenever you...
No, you have to have your life jackets on while you're running the
boat. Can you take them off when you're anchored?
If you have the ones that are already inflated in the boat, you don't have to keep them on, but the motor has to be completely off. It cannot be running. You have to be completely anchored.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is the cage is aces all the time.
So when you say that, are you talking about the big orange one that everybody is familiar with, right? So you can't be wearing a vest. Right?
No.
I'm saying you literally have to wear the big...
Because you got to think, you're wearing a big vest, it makes it harder to fish. It's a lot more complicated to fish with a bigger vest on like that. So they're a little bit more lenient on that stuff. They say that has to be on the boat deck at the time.
So how irritating and frustrating at times is that, especially when you're on the lake and if it's a beautiful day and the sun's beaming down?
There's self-inflating life jackets that are a lot smaller and it's a lot easier on you to fish, but Yeah, no, it's still like, you know, you have that big vest on. I mean, it feels kind of like you wish you didn't have it on.
But. See, I would always want to wear a vest because I can't swim that well.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So I guess all you guys and girls swim well?
I swim pretty well, yeah.
But in the middle of a lake, that'd be tough, right?
Yeah, it could be tough.
Wear your life jacket then.
Yeah, you gotta have your life jacket on.
Well, if you're going over, it's gonna be hard to get back in regardless.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's hard to get back into a boat. It's hard to get back into a boat.
Somebody gotta pick you up.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I fell in the lake during a tournament one time. It was, I don't even know what month it was. It was like November.
Cold.
Yeah, it was cold. The water was like 30 degrees warmer than the air was.
So how'd you get up?
Well, I think at the time my partner was Noah Everman. And he was freaking out. He was screaming my name. It was a big ordeal. Everyone at that tournament was sitting there staring at me. So I just pulled the boat back onto the bank, and he pulled me back in. He pulled me back in the boat and got back in the boat. I was soaking, sopping wet. But thankfully, a bunch of the boat captains gave me a bunch of their clothes and everything that I could put on.
Now, that's legal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can't give you advice, but they give you clothes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And still don't bring extra clothes, but I highly recommend you bring extra clothes in case something like that happens. Because it happened to me and it sucked.
Well, it's not like the boats. Does it wobble a little bit about there when you're moving?
If you have an aluminum boat, it's tough on it because it wobbles a lot. And, it mainly sucks to wear extra clothes because if you get someone else's, you get something else, they don't fit. And I got someone's size and Dad had to tie a rope around my waist on the trolling motor so the sweatpants wouldn't keep on slant, falling down. I looked stupid out there. I looked really dumb.
Nice be thin.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it wasn't fun. That was not a fun tournament. That was one of those days.
I understand.
Yeah.
As far as your largest fish, what's the largest that you've caught?
Oh, my gosh. In a tournament or just the biggest one I've caught? Gosh, there's so many. I'm sure I've caught bigger ones when I was in Hartwell in a tournament, but I don't remember that well. The biggest one I remember catching so far was we caught a 5-pound smallmouth in Pickwick in Nationals. That was the biggest fish I caught in the last years I can remember.
What's the biggest fish the team's caught? You know? Y'all have a record for what biggest fish?
I think Reagan's 6-pound largemouth she caught in Grayson Lake.
And that takes you a long way, and you're sure you when you get 6 pounds, right?
They got two fish, keepers five, and they won in tournament with there two fish. So, yep. I mean, if that don't say nothing. I mean, big fish matter a lot.
Matter a lot.
Just three 3-pounders is a really good bag. If there's five fish limit, you got 3 3-pounders, that's a really good bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a big fish matter a lot. It's a big player in that.
So as far as your senior year, what are your expectations going into your senior year?
Well, I hope to do good and I hope to win a lot. But, I mean, I expect to do really good. My year's leading up. I've been pretty much stable. I hope to do better this year. I keep on trying to improve. I'm really excited for this year. I am. I'm really excited for this year. I've been waiting for my senior year for a long time.
How long have you been partnering up with the Ryder?
2 years. This will be my second year partnering up with him this year. So, okay. He's a good boat partner. He's a really good guy. Really good boat partner. It's my third year with him. Third year. Third year.
All right.
As far as tournament, any on the schedule that kind of jump out to you that you're looking forward to more than the others?
Probably my favorite one's probably Green River. We won a Green River tournament last year. I like every lake on there, really. The only one I don't really love that much is probably Paintsville Lake. I don't really like that lake that much. Besides that, every lake's on the go. I like Cumberland really good. I like Green River. I love Green River. Love Green River.
So if you go catch a bunch of fish in Paintsville next month, you'll start loving Paintsville.
I like it a little bit better. Yeah, I like it a little more. I might change my opinion on it a little bit.
So do you plan on going toward Western Kentucky to school somewhere?
I'm not sure yet. I'm not completely positive where I want to go.
I'm throwing that out there because Jamie's listening. She would die if you went to Western Kentucky.
She wouldn't like it. She definitely wouldn't like it that much.
Well, obviously, right, you mentioned scholarships earlier. So as far as, like, how does that even work? Do they have, recruiters that come to these tournaments and kind of paying attention? How does that whole recruiting process even work?
there's a lot of different ways they can do it. Sometimes recruiters come up, but a lot of times there's this web. There's a website. I forgot what it's called, but you can put like your name and like everything on there, like everything bass fishing wise, what you want to put on there. And like literally colleges can see like your face and everything on that website, and they could email you and send you about stuff, and you can possibly get scholarships. So, and then especially at nationals, there is a lot of money in scholarships, a lot of money in scholarships.
As far as placement, you know, if you're like top five, top 10, something like that.
If you win a tournament, you can choose whatever scholarship you want. You can there's a bunch of scholarships.
Get there first, right? So.
Oh yeah, you gotta win it first. Yeah, you gotta win. You gotta get up there.
Yeah, once you get there, then plenty of money.
3.2 million.
So you have to qualify. Any shout outs before we break away?
Well, I feel like my mom would want me to shout her out, so I'm gonna shout out my mom.
She's listening.
So. Yeah, Jamie Ewan. When I shout out my mom, I want to shout out my dad, my boat captain. He's a really good boat captain. Could ask for a better one. And I want to thank all of our sponsors for, you know, letting us be able to come and fish these tournaments and have such a good time. It really makes a difference in our lives, and it'll leave a good mark on our lives. So
get it going for the younger group too. Gotta be leaders for the younger group as they come up.
If there's one thing I want, I want younger people to keep on joining, because it really is a fun time. It really is nice. I'm gonna go ahead and say it is a hard sport. It ain't for people that, you know, I mean, just are doing it for the fun of it. It is a hard sport. It's challenging at times. But in the end, it's a really, really fun sport. I love it to death.
That's awesome.
Sound like a winner.
Want to take another quick break?
Take a break. We'll get the coaches back in here and talk about a couple other things, and we'll be back in a moment.
Allen's Hardware is a hidden gem in Clay City and known for their dependable down-home service. Visit Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road and you'll find Valspar Paints, Echo Power Tools, Electrical Supplies, Septic System Accessories, Key Cutting Services, and even U-Haul Rentals. That's Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road in Clay City. To find out more, call 606-663-1122. That's 606-663-1122.
You deserve a bank that truly values you. At People's Exchange Bank, they pride themselves on providing personalized service that other banks just can't match. Whether you're needing a checking account, a home loan, or financial advice, our team of local professionals have you covered. Visit 53 East Pendleton Street in Stanton, or visit them online at pebank.com. Join their family of satisfied customers today and experience the hometown difference at People's Exchange Bank, where banking is about you. People's Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back here to PCS, and I'm going to wrap it up back with where we started. We're going to have Robert Curtis Jr. back on, and or Cheesy, coach, boat captain, whatever you want to call him.
All the above, right?
Yeah.
So we kind of talked off the air as far as how well has the bass team done over the years as far as finishes. You know, obviously we've talked about going to the nationals, to the worlds. What's that kind of been like as far as, you know, some of the accomplishments?
It's been really good. I mean, for a little county like Powell County, we've had 4 state qualifiers out of the 6 years we've done. 2, Kinsey and Reagan qualified twice for the state tournament, you know. So, you know, to make the state, and like I say, they finished runner-ups last year. So, I mean, we've done really good as far as, you know, state tournament stuff. Like I say, Carson and Ryder, as graduating eighth graders, were our first team to ever make the nationals, and you know, and Carson and Dalen, you know, as graduating eighth graders going into their freshman year, made the national team, you know, and, you know, that was the first year we went to Wisconsin and stuff, you know, so it was all new to us at that point. And, but, I mean, we've had, you know, like I say, four teams make the state. We've had three teams make the national championships, you know, which is a big deal.
I mean,
you have teams from all over the – when they call it the national and the world championships, that's what they mean. They're teams from Zimbabwe, I mean, everywhere in the world that come from here. You know, a team from Spain, I mean, different – I mean –
Now, they're high school aides too, right?
Yeah, it's all high school people. Yeah, but, I mean, it's literally the world championship.
And they're all competing for that scholarship money, correct?
Yeah, last year there were 410 boats that qualified. So it's a spectacle when they go out in the morning.
So, now, really, how do they go out like waves of so many boats per time? Or
yeah, they'll send – last year they sent like 30 at a time out. So every 15 minutes they'll send 30 boats out.
And everybody's got a staggered stop time.
Yep. They start at 6 o'clock, you know, 6:15 they'll send 30 more out. And if you're supposed to be back in at 3, 3:15, 3:30, 3:45, and so on until they, you know, got all the boats.
And that makes it better for weigh-in, too, when they're coming in that
Yeah, it gives them time to weigh that first flight in before the second flight comes in and stuff and everything.
Okay.
And
I can only imagine the spectacle as far as having that many boats out on the lake and then different ones just...
Well, I know I saw pictures.
Off, right?
I saw pictures when they were in Wisconsin. And the boats are just like, it was wall to wall boats.
It's a sea of boats. It really is. It's something to see, especially early in the morning when it's first light and they've all got, there's 400 boats with all their lights on and stuff out there. It's something to see. It really is.
I wouldn't want to be part of that leaving part. That'd be kind of scary because everybody's racing to a spot, right?
Well, yeah, but like I say, that's part of the safety thing, too, is sending out 15 at a time. They've got time to get out before the next 15 goes, and, you know.
Is there an advantage for going out first?
Some days there's not. I mean, some, you know, it, like I say, some days the evening bite's better than the morning bite. So, you know, and like at Nationals, what they'll do, if you go out boat one on day one, you go out boat 410 on day two. They reverse it.
Yeah.
So if... We had a team or two get stuck in the middle this year, so it didn't matter. They were in the middle both ways, so, you know.
Yeah, but if you're – now it could make a huge difference if you're that top 15 or last 15. It could make a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. It could really affect your fishing, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go on and just mention real quick as far as their schedule. So on September the 9th at Paintsville Lake, September the 30th at Barron River, October the 14th, Grayson Lake, October the 28th, Laurel Lake, November the 4th, Harrington Lake. November 18th, Woods Creek. Where's Woods Creek?
That's at London.
In London, okay. Then December 2nd, Green River. And then they'll kick things off in the spring, March the 9th at Cave Run Lake. And then that's also when the Kentucky SAF State Tournament at Lake Cumberland. Is that correct? And then April the 13th, No Lynn Lake. Then April the 27th, KHSAA Regional Tournament. And then from there, you continue to have the different tournaments through KHSAA as far as the state tournament. And then the world finals actually in Lake Hartwell in Anderson, South Carolina.
So I call it preseason, but the regular season as far as the fall season is more of your qualifiers to get ready for your spring. Is that correct?
Well, they'll have, like I say, there's 12 tournaments, so they may fish 7 of them in the fall. And fish 5 of them in the spring. The reason they have a shorter spring session is because you do have the state qualifiers. Like, you know, the Cumberland is a state tournament qualifier. You got the regional tournament, which is a state tournament qualifier, obviously. And then you got the qualifiers for the nationals and, you know, the worlds. So, you know.
So all your other fishing is pretty much done by the time you get to that point as far as getting qualified. They're their own events.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So are there multiple ways to get qualified?
And some of the tournaments, yeah, like the Cumberland tournament is a dual event. If you know, so you get points and you can qualify. You know,
direct in, right?
Direct in, yeah. So,
anything else? Any shout outs for yourself?
Now just our boat captains, because we're like I say, we really appreciate our sponsors and stuff because, you know, that's how we're funded. You know, it's. People ask me all the time as a joke, you know, what do you make as a boat captain? I say, well, it costs me about $2,000 a year to fish, you know, because like I say, we use our own money, you know, and stuff. And
gas
and stuff and everything. So, it's, you know, we really appreciate our sponsors. It really does help a lot. So,
I got nothing, Dave.
I got nothing, Ken. All right. Just, you know, stay tuned. We'll be back on the air at 7:30-ish, maybe a little bit before with volleyball. But I'd like to wish you guys good luck this season, starting up this month now. Well, tomorrow will be this month, right? So tomorrow will be September. So we'll start in about a week or so and be ready to go fishing, right?
Okay, I actually had somebody ask us a question here.
We'll roll with it.
So
I don't check my phone that much.
Hold on here. Who is ranked and where to find those rankings? Any idea?
You can...
Kentucky Bass Federation.
Yeah, after the first tournament.
Okay.
They'll list the tournament results, and then they'll also have a link to list our team trail rankings.
But there's no way to find that link on the KHSA website, though, right?
No. KHSAA only holds a regional and a state.
Okay,
and what was that again?
Kentucky Bass Federation.
Kentucky Bass Federation. So after the first tournament, do they rank by according to region in addition
points.
To?
No,
according to points. Straight points.
Yeah. Team Trail.
Okay.
Team Trail, which is statewide.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go.
That'll be something we'll have to keep up with.
We will. Well, Julie will help us keep up with it, too.
Thanks, Julie. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. And all the coaches, volunteers, the boat captains, everybody that is a part of the Bass team, again, great success. That's going on there, and continued success, obviously.
A big time thank you. Again, it always takes some people like that to get the job done, and also the parents, because it's expensive, right?
It's not a cheap sport.
So thank all the parents. A lot of the parents are the boat captains. Some of them are not.
Some of them are, some are not.
But thanks, especially thank those that are not, right? Because they don't have much in it, but they love the sport. Mm-hmm. And I know some of the names you mentioned.
Well, it's good for the kids. I mean, if a kid's fishing, he's not in trouble.
You've always said that, haven't you?
Yeah.
He used to take me fishing back when then he had to tie my lures and get them off trees and quit taking me. So that's just the way it is. That's fishing. Yes. All right. As far as we're concerned, we are want to sign off and head to the high school to do volleyball. So we'll be back next week. We'll be back on the air tomorrow night with football. We'll be back in 2 weeks here on PCSN Live.
Joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Toyota South, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. 104.9